Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, if you gathered a group of people together and you asked them to list the top 10 parables that Jesus told, it's likely that many would recall the parable heard today in the gospel text. It is the parable of the rich man and poor Lazarus. Like many of the popular parables, however, people often misinterpret them. For example, just because Jesus describes Lazarus as a poor and suffering man who died and went to heaven, that does not mean that all poor and suffering people make it to heaven. Just because one is healthy and wealthy, when in this case going to hell, that does not mean that everyone who is wealthy and healthy will go to hell. So it's always often that we consider in the context of different things. The culture of the time believed that God blessed righteous people by making them well off. They also believed during that time that God condemned the unrighteous and caused them to suffer or by making them poor. Well, they expected people of honest wealth to make it to heaven, and they expected the poor and the sickly to go to hell. Therefore, Jesus often taught that it is possible for the wealthy to go to hell and the poor to suffer suffering to enter heaven. Jesus wants us to understand that the prosperity and the troubles that you and I encounter today in this life, they truly have no bearing on our eternal destination. And we also need to understand that sooner and later, every parable in the Bible tends to break down. And that's simply because there are no earthly experiences that exactly correspond to every last detail of what we see as eternal truth. That means that even when Jesus is telling this account, we need to focus on his main points and not get so caught up in all of the minute details of the parable. Well, while the general portrayal of heaven and hell in this parable are consistent with the teachings of Jesus elsewhere, remember that we should not get bogged down in the detailed descriptions of heaven and hell that exist in this parable. He did not teach this parable in order that there would be the details of eternity and heaven or hell, nor did he tell it in order to teach about the details of the process of one's death and dying. Well, the angels carry Lazarus from a life of torment to an eternity of comfort. The rich man, on the other hand, he descends from a life of comfort into an eternity of torment. And it is with this background that Jesus will teach them and us today the main point of the parable in the conversation that this rich man has with Abraham. Initially, think of it. The rich man is still quite arrogant. He's quite self-centered. For he calls out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." The rich man, still thinking Lazarus is some sort of servant or slave, and that Abraham should just tell him what to do. He also does not understand that his current state of suffering will be permanent, and there will be no relief for him in hell. Then Jesus has Abraham inform the man of his hopelessness. Abraham says, "Child, remember, you in your lifetime received good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. There's no relief for those who have died and gone to hell. There is only eternal suffering. Well, finally, after all hope is gone, the rich man thinks of someone else. He says, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." The rich man believes that the miraculous appearance of someone coming back from the dead will shock his brothers into belief. Now, it's here that our Lord begins to develop the main point of the parable as Abraham replies. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Within the context of the story, Jesus was teaching that the Word of God that proclaims salvation from eternal torture. Jesus calls all who hear this parable to listen to the proclamation of God's Word. He calls all men to listen to as he interprets God's promises and fulfills them in his own life and his own death on the cross. It is at this point in the parable that the rich man experiences or expresses a false understanding that sadly plagues many today. The rich man thought that God's word, not enough. He thought that the miracle of resurrection from the dead, that would be more powerful than the word of God. He says, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Sadly, even many Christians today will agree with the rich man at this point. We still have many in the church on earth who do not believe that God's word is enough. While none of them might not come right out and say it, their opinions and their practices show that they see God's word as simple information and nothing more. When a person states that preaching Christ and him crucified is not working, those are folks who are saying that God's word is not enough. When they say that reading God's word is boring, they are really saying that God's word is not enough. When they are saying that we need always to be reaching out to people's felt needs, instead of the real need of forgiveness in Christ Jesus that the Bible proclaims, they are simply saying that God's word is not enough. Father Abraham disagreed. He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Did you hear what Jesus is saying here through the mouth of Abraham in this parable? He says that the sign of the person coming back from the dead is not as powerful as the simple proclamation of the Word of God. If a resurrection from the dead is not as powerful as the Word of God, then no marketing plan, no super innovative ideas no church gimmicks of any kind are as powerful as the simple proclamation of God's word. The main point of the parable. But when it comes to salvation, there's nothing lacking from God's word. The Holy Spirit spoke through the Apostle Paul and says in Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. He also said, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, Romans 10. The Holy Spirit also spoke through the prophet Isaiah and said, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. Isaiah 55. So for you and I, as much as our salvation concerns, we need nothing more than the word of God. We don't need emotional manipulation. We don't need advertising gimmicks or any other ideas of our own. The word of God is enough. Now, Jesus was not engaging in one bit of overstatement when he spoke through Abraham in the parable and said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophet, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. So, question, how is it that the word of God is more powerful than a sign of the resurrection? Jesus' words, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you will have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. And it is with these words that Jesus tells us and teaches us that the word of God is important, because it is only through the word of God that you and I know who Jesus is and what Jesus did to save each one of us. It is the teaching of the Holy Scriptures that tell us that Jesus is both God and man. God's word teaches us that Jesus, the Son of God, reigns over all things in equality with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. There's not three gods, but only one God in three persons, as Holy Trinity Sunday expressed. God's word teaches us that Jesus took on our flesh in order to take our place under the law. And it is God's word that teaches us that Jesus took our sins and its consequences unto himself. God's word teaches us that Jesus suffered and he died on the cross, and that this sacrifice redeemed all creation from the ravages of sin. And God's word teaches us that Jesus rose from the dead so that you and I can have complete confidence in all things from the word of God. The Holy Spirit has promised to use God's word to deliver these things to you and to me. It's through the word of God that the Holy Spirit creates the faith that we have that receives the benefits of Christ's work. And it's by the Holy Spirit working through the word of God that we will take our place in comfort at Abraham's side. Now, in closing, summation, Jesus made several points in his story about Lazarus and the rich man. One, there's only two possible destinations when we leave this world, hell or heaven. Two, that there is no way that once you are there that you can leave. And thirdly, and most importantly, Jesus states, the word of God proclaims and delivers the very grace of God that carries each one of us to eternal comfort. True, those who reject God's word will be like the rich man and end up in a place of eternal torment. Those who have the Holy Spirit's gift of faith forever will live in comfort in paradise. They have God's word that they will live with him forever. That is you. That is me. In the name of Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.